Hello and welcome to Prime Lenses. I'm Ian. Each week I speak with a photographer about three lenses that have meant something to them on their photographic journey. This week I'm speaking to Yannick Boysen, a game developer by day and a game developer by night, it turns out, making their own game Shutterstroll, which is a photography-based game where you walk around generated island landscapes, photographing trees and rocks and things. Each one looks quite different to the other one. You can hop in a boat and then go and explore other islands. It's great, and it's the kind of antidote to modern kind of fast-paced action gaming online. You can just take some time, take some photos, and then share those photos on social media afterwards. It's a really fun time, and I really enjoyed talking to Yannick about how they'd discovered photography and what their game and what people's reaction to the game had taught them about themselves. So, without further ado, here's my conversation with Yannick. I thought there was going to be a minor disaster with the kids, but I don't think there is, actually, because they've come back from school and they're not as ill as was described. So I'm just going to run with it. If I get cut off at a certain point, then we'll figure it out. But yeah.
Sure.
How great. Is Thursday treating you? How's it going?
Great. It's actually national holiday in Germany.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I'm just having a chill day today.
Yeah, nice.
Not much. Visiting my favorite cafe, planning some games, not much else.
That sounds like a pretty perfect, amazing day. You know, just go to a cafe, plan some games, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how people think game development actually happens.
I wish it was that way. I'm kind of manifesting it whenever I'm going to a cafe with my laptop and think like this is. I'm feeling like a writer in a Starbucks, and hoping like something is channeled through me. Yeah,
yeah. It's like being video game Hemingway or you know something like that. Yeah. It's just this romantic notion of I'm the same when I go out with my camera. I'm just like, well, you know, I'm basically channeling you know Oscar Barnack or Henri Cartier-Bresson, someone like that. But yeah, that's cool. I will say, living best video game life, and just to embarrass you a little bit, like, the game's lovely. Like, making a game about photography that actively encourages you to just take your time and go for a wander and just enjoy yourself is a rare treat in the world of games. There's no pressure on it. It's just go and have a stroll. Not even go and have an adventure. Just go and explore, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That was always the goal. Well, maybe I feel like that. How do I say this? The not having a goal part of it came very organically because I tried. Well, basically, I was just playing around generating islands because I'm a huge fan of procedural generation. And at some point. Well, that was a time where I was still sharing progress on Twitter regularly before it went to shit. So at some point, I just figured, wait, I'm taking pictures for people online. I could just make this a photography game and let people do that by themselves if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So before that, it wasn't really a photography game at all. It just happened to become one.
That's really nice, because you've got photos in the background. So photography is presumably part of your life, and like you've played with cameras. Like when we were talking setting this up, you were sort of joking about like you have like three lenses. but how what's your photography journey? You know,
I didn't really get much into photography until I started making Shutterstroll. I think like maybe. Even after the launch, I was not really into photography. And as I continued working on the game, I figured out, yeah, maybe actually let me try translating the things I do in game to real life. So I got a camera secondhand. My trusty Fuji Film X-T20, which is a good inexpensive camera, I think. And the three lenses I own are actually the ones that got sold to me with it. So nice. It was a good deal.
Yeah.
And then I just looked what felt good. But mostly I fig- or I figured out pretty quickly, the things I'm shooting when I'm going outside are very similar to the things I would shoot in the game. I think that's some sort of habit. For example, I really like street photography as a genre, but I'm not really into taking pictures of people.
Right.
Or maybe it's because I do not feel a connection to most people that I see on the street, in a way other people would. So if you see me on the street, I'm mostly just pointing my camera up somewhere.
Right.
I really like 50% sky, 50% some sort of shape constructed from different rooftops. So I'm very much looking at like blocks of color and patterns instead of looking at people or different points of focus, because the game doesn't really have any subjects that you can really interpret something into. Like I got the feedback a lot of people that said, hey, I would really like to take pictures of animals on the island. And I'm like, that's great. Won't be doing that. We'll never do that in this game. That's not what the game is about. You can play Pokemon Snap or something similar. I was very, very intentional about not having anything moving, anything conscious on the islands in the game. And so, yeah, that kind of, until I got my hands on my first good camera, that pretty much already shaped how I'd like to take photos, if that makes sense.
It's funny, you've said something there. I do the same thing. So when I was playing the game over the last few days and sort of making lots of photos, and I posted a bunch of stuff to Threads last night when I was playing and taking pictures. And the thing you've made me realize, I'm doing exactly the same thing, but I live in the Highlands surrounded by trees. And so I was wandering around finding nice light coming through trees and like the obelisks and things in the landscape and just enjoying the texture and the pattern of things in the way that I do here, because all there is to shoot is trees. And so maybe that's why it's resonated so much with me, because I'm marching about in a landscape. You know, your landscape is not the same landscape as the one I live in, but it's familiar, I suppose. Similar enough.
Similar enough if you go out of the city.
Yes. Yeah.
But then, yeah. I would say it's pretty similar. Less hilly, I can presume. But it's very, very flat here. So I think maybe that's part of why the islands came to be the way they were, because I'm seeing a lot of flat ground every day. The islands are certainly not that. If I was living in another location, I think the islands would have looked different, just because it was kind of a form of escapism when I made the game. Right. It was just because that was what I essentially was doing. I was taking a stroll. I was just making worlds for myself, taking a stroll in them, being happy about it. That's it. So I think I'm really happy people, or more people than I expected, actually resonated with what the game was trying to do. Because I think it's really hard to tell people, yeah, this is not really a game. Especially since I released on Steam recently, I was very scared about Steam and like gamer reactions to the game. And I was pleasantly surprised by people actually getting the game.
That's amazing. You've been working on it for 4 years now, is that right? Is that about right? I think I came across it about 2020, 2021, something like that. Wow.
Yeah. Must have been. Yeah. I started working on it. I know Christmas Eve 2019 as a break from other projects.
Yeah.
And then half a year later, I released the first version on itch.io. Yeah. And shortly after, on the day of the release, it was my first commercial title. I thought I could try to sell this. It wasn't really about the money, but more about feeling like an actual game dev who has sold their own games.
Yeah.
But then exactly on the day I released, it was my birthday. It was a gift to myself. That's when the first big itch bundle came together, the bundle for racial justice and equality. And I thought, okay, well, I didn't want to earn money from this anyway, really. I will just put that in there. Somehow it was ranked really high in that bundle. Huh. Like you could, every time the bundle was linked, it was like in the first five games. And suddenly everybody had the game.
Cool.
Which was a lucky coincidence. Had a lot of people. I think it was a great place or a great bundle to put it in because it not only does some good by raising money for people who need it, but I also think those bundles are really good for people who need just a break from whatever's causing that bundle to need to be there. And so, yeah, I was really happy that I was able to provide some people like some form of escapism. And yeah, the good thing about that for me was that lots of people played the game, which was lovely. I saw lots of photos. I was really surprised that people found ways to like take pictures of the islands I did not anticipate beforehand. It was really cool to see that. I don't know, it was so cool.
I really like taking photos in there with the filters and things like that. I was gonna ask actually, the game, I think, does it default to 40 millimeter as the field of view, or is that something I've inadvertently set?
I think it might be. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what the default is. Because in video game cameras, you tend to not think of millimeters. You tend to think of degrees.
Yeah.
So I think at some point I had like a degree value I was happy with. That was the standard. And later on, when I implemented more visual representation for the camera, I was like, okay, let me actually put this into terms that would fit a camera and not talk about FOV, but rather talk about millimeters. And then it just happened to be around 40. Then I rounded it just to have a nice number.
Right? Well, it's funny because the newsletter this week that I just sent out, this will come out in like a month's time or something, but the newsletter I just did was about how 40 is the new 50 in terms of lens lengths. Because it used to be that 50 was the one that people would sell you with a camera. Like, you know, get this camera, get a 50 prime lens, and then learn to move your feet. And what's interesting at the moment is that content creators, YouTubers especially, but like photography conversation, people are falling over themselves to say how 40 is like the new, or not the new, but like the ideal focal length. And what's funny is last week, Leica's Q3 released, the new Q3 43, which is a 43 millimeter field of view, so effectively a 40, really. Mm-hmm. And so it's just funny that here I was noticing all of these people coming together at the same time, and then I started playing the game, and the default was, it's funny that you've landed on something that probably looked right to you, and that's the same reason maybe that 40 feels right to a bunch of people as well, because it's kind of a natural, that's the thing, the way people say it, it's like it's a natural field of view. So that's why I thought I'd ask, because...
Yeah, I think 40 millimeters around the range where I would say it's a range where you start to be less stationary in taking photos and more thinking about... I have a friend who does very different photography from mine. He's widely talented. And whenever you meet with him, you will see him squatting everywhere. You will see him like going about left to right, finding positions for photos, which I think is really fun. I couldn't get a feel for that yet. I'm not really used to like drawing attention when I take pictures. But I think that's like the range where you start to have to move to frame things, because I'm mostly out and about with my kit lens, my 18 to 55 millimeters. And I'm in one spot. I already know what the frame is going to be. I take out the camera, then I just see what zoom level works best. Very much like in the game, right? Because in the game, you have that like the wildest zoom lens of all time. I think it goes from 25 to 105 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's really more about, I guess there's like the approach of photography to say, I want to frame this and that's my subject and this is how I want it to look. But I also really like to think about pictures, like where am I standing? Like the picture not only tells me what I am taking a picture of, but it also kind of tells the story of where I'm standing right now. Most of that you don't see it, but you can infer it if you know the place, or maybe there are some hints about that, and I think that's really interesting to look at as well. So I'm mostly the standing still, getting the zoom, or like using the zoom lens as a crutch, whereas other people would move. And I think the 40 millimeter is like the probably the cutoff where you start to move more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a 35 person naturally, which is kind of close enough, right? Like, but 35 and 50, I'm also a primes person. Like, I haven't used a zoom lens in over a decade, really. There was one on my old Sony, but I never used to use it. I always used a 35 prime on the front, I think, for size and weight. So yeah, so I'm like, it's fun playing the game because it's, you know, like escapism. Games can be escape, and for me it's escapism in a funny way because I never handle a zoom lens as well, so it is actually quite fun when I'm when I'm stood. Last night I was messing around, there was a rock that I found on top of a hill, and it had a little hole in the rock, and I could see the coast of the island and some water dappled in the distance, and I spent ages trying to frame like a shot through the rock, through the hole in the rock, using the rock as kind of framing and stuff. And so maybe experimenting where like standing further back and zooming through, and that, but then you kind of lose all the definition of the rock. And so like, what about a wide lens? And so, yeah, I love that flexibility. Have you played it on a handheld, like a Steam Deck or anything like that at all?
I personally haven't. But the friend who's like two blocks away actually has a Steam Deck and tested it on there. And I haven't gotten around to just yank it out of his hands because I really want to.
It's quite fun that you can do the thing you can do with a camera. You kind of move it around, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I really want to see how like gyro controls would feel, because I think that would also be a very fun thing to just use the camera as an actual camera, or like the Steam Deck as your camera. I don't know how well it works out of the box, if you can already configure it to do that, but I think that would be really fun.
I think you can remap a lot of controls on the Steam Deck. I don't know if you've ever used Snap Spectacles.
I haven't.
So they had, I have the Ray-Ban, the Wayfarers now with the cameras in, which I really love, especially for running around after my little boys and stuff. But the Snap version, the reason I wanted them early on was because they have a circular crop. So what that means, so when you've got the phone, when you display your video or your photograph from them on your phone, you can rotate the phone around and kind of see bits of the picture that are off screen. And so the thing that strikes me when you're saying about using the gyro and stuff, like that could be really trippy but quite cool if you had, like, because then the screen is actually just a portal that you're looking through. It's quite a wild idea. I hadn't thought that. That's awesome.
I should investigate that and find out if that's possible. I know some years ago someone proposed like having a VR port of the game, but I thought that's too much work for the player base. I'm sorry. maybe the next photography game, but a VR photography game would be great. Not quite sure how it would work exactly, but I think there's some really cool things you can do with being able to not have to put your hands on the camera directly. I mean, you're very limited by the size of the camera. Like your hands have to stay on the camera in a virtual space. That doesn't have to be the case. So maybe you can have a camera that grows as you take your hands apart or something like that. You can maybe have some really cool controls.
Hand gestures to control the camera. There you go.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. VR is frustrating because it's so good, but it's just, there's never enough. There's never the install base somehow. And it's been 5 years away for 20 years somehow. Like, I've got a Quest 3 and it's amazing, but there's just not quite enough stuff. Like, I get really into it for intense periods when I play a game, and then I don't pick it up for weeks.
Same for me.
It's just, but it's so good when you do, you know, like, it's just, we're like nearly there. But now, I mean, I wasn't going to request animals. I will request a VR camera game. That sounds brilliant.
I would think about it.
Yes, thank you. I'll put in a feature request. But it's probably worth talking about, because you mentioned the game being your birthday, kind of your birthday present to you, and you wanted to make a game for yourself. What's your history of making games then? Like, how have you been doing this for a long time? Do you do it like full time? Is this your own hobby or?
Yeah. Currently, I like to say I'm a game dev by day and a game dev by night.
Love that. Okay.
So when I started making Shutterstroll, I was still in university, like having like one semester where I just didn't take any courses, just procrastinating on a thesis. Mm-hmm. You know how it goes.
Remember that, yeah.
And actually, during the leading up the 3 months until Shutterstroll's release was when I got my first internship in games. And until since then, I've been in the games industry in different companies, mostly small teams like indies and small companies. And it's been hard to focus on like my own indie game dev in that time, because work takes out a lot of you, especially if you do the same thing you would like to do in your free time. But yeah, I've been doing both in parallel for the past 5 years then, 4 or 5 years. Yeah,
it's a funny thing.
There's not much history to go into.
No, well, what I find funny about our industry, because obviously I work in games as well, and I think it's funny, game dev is one of the few industries, I think, where people finish doing it and then carry on and do it in their free time. Like, it's so, you know, you don't go to, like, I mean, you do maybe in some areas, but like typically I don't imagine you encounter like waiting staff at restaurants and they go, oh, I went home and then I waited some more tables. Whereas we talk to each other like, oh, it work's really intense at the moment and I'm a bit burned out on it. Oh, what did you do last night? Oh, I was playing Horizon. Or, you know, like we do just, we go home and then indulge in the thing. I think it's sometimes what contributes to like some of the sort of the burnout in the industry, because people are just, they're overloading their entertainment and their hobby has become their job in a way that I think can be quite tough.
Yeah, I think that's mostly a problem with the entertainment industry for the most part. Because, that's the thing. If the thing you do for a living is the one that's supposed to entertain you at the end of the day, you just keep being immersed in it somehow, even if you try to shut it off. I must admit, it has been hard at some point or at multiple points in the past years, but it really helps to not be doing the same kind of games,
right?
As you do on your game job. I think if anybody would do that, that would be insane.
Yes, probably, and possibly get you in trouble with your employer.
Not judging anyone.
As well, you know, they're like, we want all these good ideas for the thing you're making for us. Thanks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's why I really appreciated your game, though, and the way you've approached it and the way that it encourages you to explore and enjoy, like, you know, right up front. We've gotten so used to messages up front that tell you to put on headphones or play this in a darkened room, and yours just tells us to chill out, you know, which is just like sleep, like it's the game equivalent of going, right, before you start, touch some grass, and then we're going to go and walk.
Yeah, and I think that message at the start of the game was very important for me to put in there because I was also so afraid people would not get the game unless I tell them to. I think the main inspiration was a completely different game, but Darkest Dungeon when it came out. Which is like this overly brutal dungeon crawler. Yeah. I loved it. But it also has like message at the start of the game that just tells you this is supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
Your party will die. This is part of the game. But if you want, you can like configure it in the settings. And I was going to do the wholesome version of that and just say, hey, by the way, there's no goals here. Please don't try to find any goals. Just make your own. And also, if you really hate that you can only take one picture per island, you can turn that off, because I wouldn't want to force you into my vision of the game. But I would like to nudge you into it.
Yeah.
To at least give it a try at first.
So now that you're on Steam, you've been on itch for a while, like you've attracted players and stuff like that, and you've talked there about you don't really want to add things like animals and things to photograph and stuff. Are we at kind of like the natural endpoint for Shutterstroll, and then there'll be another project, or are you kind of Do you want to kind of tweak it and fiddle at the edges, or is this kind of, because it feels like a nice self-contained thing at the moment, which doesn't mean you can't add to it, but
yeah, I mean, the fiddling about phase has been 4 years now, right? So after the itch release, I was very eager to, okay, this game doesn't feel complete. Let me add this and that. And even now, as I released on Steam, I still have like lots of notes in my project planning that are like, this should be on islands, this should be on islands, which I just didn't get to due to time and kind of wanting to have this game out finally, because I think it's a gift and a curse to have had it in my hands for so long, where I'm at the point I've noticed that I've been saying no to a lot of cool new projects or opportunities because I was like, but then I have another thing, and I already have this. So it really helped me to get it out on Steam. And for now, I would say I'm completely done with it. Like, I've done a few small patches just to send off the rough edges and the things people did not enjoy, and will do like technical stuff. But I feel, I've really tried to tell myself, save it for the sequel at every corner.
Right.
If there's supposed to be one. I have some ideas, but I don't think there will be one for quite some time. I'm really happy to be working on other projects again. I actually released another game after Shutterstroll on Steam a few days ago, just like learning a new engine, just trying out stuff, and it's been really fun to be like back in the part where you have the most fun, basically, like experimenting stuff, not having to finish the game, because that's always the worst part of it. But it's really great to have it out, have people play it. But it's also at the point, I've said it before, I don't really want to make money off of it. Mm. It's nice to have some money come back in just to like cover the amazing people I was able to pay to contribute to the project. But mostly for me, this is just about having people play the game, feeling like a legitimate game dev at some point as well. I forgot where I was going with this.
No, I think it sounds really good. You've been able to finish something. And I think that's because you don't have... Sometimes when I speak to people, I get the impression that finishing things is difficult for them, like letting go and moving on to the next thing. But I think... So, like an individual creator or part of a really small team, when you've got a well-defined endpoint, if you get to that endpoint, then you get, as you say, you get the fun bit, don't you? It's like move on to the next thing. And it feels like that's 4 years is a good period of time to be noodling around with something.
Yeah, definitely is. I also feel like I deprived myself a lot of that fun time of like starting new projects in the time where, because I think my plan for Shutterstone Steam was to like release it 2021 or something like that. Like the Steam page backend had been sitting there and everything always, life got in the way. There were obviously phases where like work was so stressful that you don't want to do game dev on the weekends. And I'm just really, really happy to have finally managed to push it out, even if it took a few years. So I'm really happy to be like, I wouldn't really say unshackled, but kind of unshackled from the game to finally being able to let it go, because I could have earned that feeling after the first release and I just like went back into it and was like, no, I'm not done, which not the best idea, actually. Can't recommend it.
No,
at least for that amount of time.
Yeah.
I say if you release a game, make sure that release is like your relief at some point and don't just keep dragging it on and on.
Yes.
That can be stressful.
Yeah. I think also selfishly as a fan of the finished product, I want you to have a break so that you might want to come back, right? Rather than you get to the point where you're like, I'm sick of this. I'm never building a camera into a game ever again. Yeah. Like that's too much, you know? there's not that many photography leaning video games, and so to have something like, there's a few little ones that sort of do stuff that are fun with it, and photo modes exist, but a game where photography is so central to it and it behaves in a way that's so similar, like one of the things that struck me last night using a controller to play the game was how how camera, you know, how that tactility that we associate mm-hmm. with nice cameras, like your Fuji has lovely dials and switches, and it's what's nice about mm-hmm. using a proper camera. Like I'm adjusting the thing to actually make the image, and it just struck me how your game has that same feel, right? Because it's buttons, because it's controls, and they're, you know, it's quite fun.
Yeah, and especially because you're actually using a camera and not like the UI that the game gives you. Like most photo modes are just a bunch of sliders and you can move the camera, fly around, and that very, I think it's very much separated from any camera thing ever. So it, yeah, it just feels like an entirely different thing. And I also really like, now I'm always thinking about putting a camera in the games I make, but as an actual camera. Like I had a prototype which was just you going on a procedurally generated train ride. And one of the things you could do, which I thought was funny because you talked about the step glasses, one of the things you could do was like pull out your smartphone and use it as a camera, and it had like a circle crop.
Amazing.
And I just really like the idea of just putting a camera into the game. But yeah, I'm not I think photo modes are neat, but I never feel myself spending much time in them.
Mm.
And I think it's because of that layer of UI interface between you and the photo, and not being able to completely, I'm just doing hand motions. Like I want to touch something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I think also there's you have to pause the action at a certain point as well, mm-hmm. which means that they can be really hard to use because you kind of like you're in the middle of doing something. And then all of a sudden you have to hit pause. Yeah. The best photo mode, or the one I've used, I think, most successfully is Fortnite, because you use photo mode during replays. So the game records everything that happened in a game, and you can jump to any player in the match, in the 100-person match of Fortnite that you played. Mm-hmm. So when I was playing through the pandemic, I really discovered Fortnite and was playing it with my brother. And because it was a way for us to hang out when we couldn't physically be together. Mm-hmm. And so we put a lot of hours in. It was really, really good. And what was really cool was the ability to watch a replay back when we'd been playing duos together and find those moments where we're both crouched down behind a rock with our backs to each other, keeping an eye out. Mm-hmm. I'll have to post them in the show notes when this one goes live. Because some of the, like, I remember a friend of mine who's quite a keen photographer as well. She messaged me, when I'd posted photos from Fortnite, and she was just like, as if you're also good at taking photos in Fortnite. Like, she's like, that's just annoying, right? That just like, not only, and I was applying black and white filters, and like when the map changed, we photographed, I'd made photos of our last play session at like our favorite place in the map before the island flipped and everything changed. And so it was really, that works really well because you're not taken out of the action. It's a separate creative act afterwards, that I can do this after the fact, and I can zoom, then the zoomy panny camera, like I'm a director then rather than a participant, I guess.
I think that's a very good point, because yeah, you just made me realize, right, when there's any photo modes, I never use it in the action.
Yeah,
it's always something in the downtime. If I'm in an open world game, I'm probably just standing near a lake and I'm like, oh, the sun is pretty, oh, there's a photo mode, and then I've never thought about doing it like an action, because I never want to be pulled out of it.
Yeah,
because I also would probably forget what was happening when I jump back in, because I tend to spend a lot of time like getting the right shot then. I think it's way cooler if you have like a separate space for directing, doing that like you do in Fortnite, or if the game affords you to. Well, that's mostly a thing with photography games, right? It tells you this is the thing you're doing right now, so there's nothing you are interrupting right now in most games. I think I'm trying to think of a photography game which gives you like other objectives that are more pressing, but I don't think there really are any.
Yeah.
At least to my experience. I should play some more games.
Yeah. Well, Toem was quite good. That was a fun one.
Oh, yes.
With photo stuff in it, where you had to catch photos of certain things. That was quite, I quite enjoyed that.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good game because it had like a slow enough pace where even if photography wasn't, I think it was, it was marketed as a photography game, but there's lots of stuff to do aside from photography. and it, but it still afforded you, the pace afforded you to just take a photo whenever you wanted to. It wasn't really disrupting any gameplay. Yeah. I think that was really neat.
Yeah, it was really good fun.
I should finish that.
Oh, you should. I was going to say, it's not very long, which was also one of my favorite things about Toem, because games can be so long. Too big.
Yeah, I'm also really a fan of smaller games, but I feel like I've sunk a lot of time into Toem. Maybe it was because I played with my partner, and then you tend to slow down and just talk about stuff. Yeah, I should get back into it. Maybe we're just before the end. Who knows?
Yeah, I can't remember how many bus rides there were in Toem, whether it was like five or six. Because you go to different... It's a little bit island-based as well. Like, you're going to different locations and use all the stuff. The other one I've been playing recently, which I kind of wish had a photo mode, but I don't think it does, is Caravan Sandwich, if you've seen that.
Yes, I obviously have. I still need to play it as well. But yeah, it looks beautiful. I'm so really good. In love with its art style.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like I wanted to have that for Shutterstone. One day when I'm a better artist.
Yeah. Well, it's to me, that one's incredible. Do you remember Giant Bomb used to do this thing when they did the reviews at the end of the year, where they would like have like best art style or whatever, you know, best look. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that has to just win hands down for this year. I don't think I've ever seen something with so complete an aesthetic. You know, it just it all just hangs together, and the way the characters are definitely 3D, but they also look like watercolor ink drawings. It's just so cool. And that little yellow truck, like, I want that thing to exist. I hope the game is doing wildly well and that they get to do all sorts of fun stuff off the back of this, because I think I'm just at the point in the story where I'm assuming that the person I've been doing a lot of stuff with might turn out to be not quite who we think they are, and that, you know, it's kind of like some things are about to kind of, the other shoe is about to drop. I'm excited to finish that one. And actually, my wife's away for work at the moment, so I think this evening may be a bit more Caravan Sandwich time. Once the kids are in bed.
Oh, so I'm cutting into your game time. Yeah.
No. See, that's the great thing about you being an hour ahead. You're not. So this is cutting into getting dinner ready time. But I've got a plan for that, so that's all right. It's all good. But yeah. So when you got picked up your Fuji then a few years back, and someone sold you the camera with three lenses, was it? Just came as a bundle, used from someone. Had you kind of landed, or did you just want a camera, or did you want that camera?
I definitely wanted that camera. I'm a person who would overanalyze things they buy. There must have been like a 2-week lead up of me consuming every video about Fuji cameras I could. I mean, it was clear to me I wanted Fuji. Then it was the decision about which one, and I think the X-T30 was just released, and I was like, I don't want to spend that much money because I was not sure how much I would use the camera. And I will have to say, there are multiple months in a row where I'm not using it until I like have the opportunity to use it again. I got it used for I think €750 with three lenses, which was like
amazing.
Wildly cheap. Exactly. And that was I would have been very happy with one lens, and then I'm seeing this thing and I'm like, oh, so I can experiment. And I haven't experimented a lot. But yeah, I was very sure I wanted that camera, and I knew I wanted the kit lens for it, mostly because of flexibility. Because I'm not a person who likes to take much with them on a photography walk.
Right.
I just use the one lens I have on the camera. But that's also the reason I tend to not switch that object, that lens very often, because a zoom lens affords me more flexibility. And I would really like to use like a prime lens at some point. But I always, every time I go out, I'm like, but what if I couldn't get close enough? And I'm like, I'm very much a what if person. And then I'm like, okay, I'm using the zoom lens. I should experiment more, definitely.
Are the other lenses that came with it then, are they primes, or is it another zoom and another prime? Or
no, they are two primes. The one is 33mm, and the other one, the other one is a very old one. It has like a vintage adapter. Let me see. I'm turning it in my hand right now, and I'm not seeing any of the numbers. Oh, I think it's a 44 millimeter.
Oh, nice. You've got a mystery
lens. So that would be, could, yeah, it's a Helios, which I think is a pretty old thing.
Yes.
It looks pretty old.
If that's the one that I'm guessing it probably is, they are quite cool. They've got a vibe to them.
Yeah.
That is vibes for days.
I've heard that, but I haven't been able to confirm that. Maybe I should put it onto my camera and just use it by default the next time I go out.
It'll be very different.
I think I've heard good things.
I can guarantee you that. Like, it'll feel like if you're in the mood for trying something different, it will definitely feel like really unusual. That one is kind of like dreamy, creamy. There's a previous guest of the show, Matthias Berling, has a habit of saying dreamy, creamy, bocalicious, which I really love as a phrase.
I love that.
It's so good because lenses like that. Yeah, well, lenses like that are lovely because they're all soft around the edges and they do weird things to the background, and they make people look like a sort of, if you backlight a friend in the sun, in like the autumn sun, like the sun that's coming through your window right now, like that'll be quite cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the exact sun that's like blinding one of my eyes.
You're okay. This is audio only, so we can pretend that like the sun was shining through the glorious plate glass window behind you in your studio or whatever.
That's exactly what's happening.
Exactly it. Yeah. That's cool. But I can totally see why the kit lens would stay on the front. I think there's some sort of shocking statistic around cameras about how many people buy multiple lenses and then never change, or a camera that can have multiple lenses and then never change them. I try and make myself change.
I think I will have to force myself to do it. I'm a very habit-driven person. I'm not really changing too much stuff unless I have to. So
maybe
I will have to just hide one of the lenses and then
force yourself feel really uncomfortable. Mm. Just do the thing.
One thing I would also really like is some sort of pancake lens, because I feel like all of the lenses I have are pretty hefty, and I would really like to have, the camera itself is pretty small, but the lenses make it quite big, so I would really like to have some point and shoot action with like some sort of pancake lens.
Yeah.
But for that, I would first have to get comfortable with other lenses to make sure it's actually, I need to get into lenses. Basically, that's the gist of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cautious about saying this to someone because then you curse them to a life of caring about lenses. However, lenses are great. lenses are really fun. And if you like me are unburdened from it being your job, like if you have to get something done for work, then obviously completely different thing. But as a happy tourist, I'm here to tell you lenses are great fun. Mm-hmm. And so having a couple to play with is always nice, and being able to indulge in, oh, I like the rendering of this one for this reason. And I like, you know, like maybe, you know, a year from now, like when you're kind of in your coffee shop sketching the ideas for Shutterstrawl 2, perhaps vintage lenses will end up being a part of this, and you'll be able to swap lenses in your bag. They'll jangle around as you walk.
I think I will try it out. You sold me with the fall time pictures of that. It would be a very, very nice reason to looking forward to fall instead of dreading it because it's not warm anymore.
Yeah, well, you only live in Scotland. It's never warm. That's the key. It's like Hulk saying, that's my secret cap. I'm always angry. It's like, that's the secret, Scotland. It's always cold. So there is a reason I'm conducting this call with you in a rather warm-looking jacket indoors. Like, it's just sometimes it's always cold. But yeah. So you've got kind of like, that's your kind of camera setup, and we've talked a little bit about Shutterstrawl. Do you want to tell people a little bit about the new game while we're here, just sort of to tease a little bit, and we can go and have a look? Because I hadn't noticed that something else had come out. I was all Shutterstrawl all the time.
Oh, it's a very small project. Mm-hmm. It's called Seeking Stardust, and it's basically it's an itch release. I'm staying away from Steam because Steam is for the big releases, for the really big releases. But as I was learning a new game engine, I was trying some stuff out, and I am also a really big fan of like daily games you can do. I think those got big when like Wordle became a thing.
Yeah.
And me and my friends, before that, we used to play this game called Tiny Islands by Dr. David King, which is just a lovely game where you just place down little huts, forests, mountains, and then you draw like island lines around them, and your islands get scored depending on how you place those things in relation.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because everyone is obviously playing the same seat. And yeah, me and some friends were playing those daily. We were playing that. We were playing Quirtle, like quadruple Wordle. And I always wanted to make my own daily game. So I just did. Well, I had some projects in the past which would have been that if I released them. But I felt like it's not a big game. It's very tiny. But it's mostly me learning a new game engine. But it's just about you flying through space, trying to collect a lot of stardust, hence the name, and just trying to see how much you can collect and navigate through a grid of like asteroids and stars and space stations. And yeah, this has the same principles of every person on the same date playing the same game, and you will be able to like take a screenshot through the game and just share it with friends, and you can compare scores, which, yeah, I really like daily games. So it was a great way to cool off after Shutterstool and just take my mind off and just say, I'm doing something completely different for a moment. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, sounds a little bit Rez inflected as well, like with the sort of moving through space. I mean, like, I was playing a lot of Rez again recently. That's very good, but intense, and it's not relaxing. You know, it's like trying to catch all these things, especially playing that, going back to VR, especially playing Rez in VR is really quite a cool experience. But that's really lovely. So you're just giving yourself the same, just like, it'll be ready when it's ready, kind of let yourself explore the space and the stardust for a while.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, at least the game is ready. I'm still polishing some stuff about it, but people have been playing it. It's fun. I'm just trying to enjoy the process again. Much how I'm like, how I'd like to enjoy the process of trying new lenses soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad I've sold you on the concept of lenses. This is a rabbit hole. You'll thank me later. I promise. It's really good fun. Especially if
I sent you the invoice for the lenses.
Yeah. 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 Oh, don't. I've had situations where I've walked into a shop, walked out, not been able to walk to the end of the street, phoned my wife, gone, can I, yeah, fine. Yeah, just a sort of like, it's seeking some enablement from someone who will understand. So yeah, you will.
Yeah, it's exactly the same with me and my partner.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. I think if you have someone who understands you to that extent as well, you know, and actually to Alice's eternal credit, she said, I think I should get it. And she said, I think you should do what makes you happy. I was like, okay. Well, that's all right then. That's not a test. That's quite nice.
My partner says the same. Do what makes you happy. And I'm like, I don't know. And then she asks, do you want me to be realistic or do you want me to be encouraging? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, so decision making for me, very hard.
Yes. Well, but I think it's funny because you were saying about zoom lenses as well, and like, well, taking your zoom out, like, well, what if while I'm out? I think that, like, I think we all, especially if you play games, and because quite often with our preferred entertainment medium, you can go back, right? So that you can save scum a little bit, or sometimes in games you can roll back. So I think that kind of means that we get too comfortable with not having to make like a permanent decision, you know? And that's why I kind of like, sometimes like we need things to take us out of our comfort zone a little bit. Maybe the people around us to kind of nudge us one way or the other when it's, you know, just make me put that vintage lens on or make me play this a different way.
It's definitely easier to make me play a game a different way than make me put a lens on my camera, I would say.
Well,
I feel like
know.
In games, I'm very much a person who thinks I want to play this how it's supposed to be played
right.
A lot of the time. I'm very much of a sometimes completionist type if I really like the game.
Yeah.
And if I'm not a person who saves scums.
Right.
But I also don't play many games that have save scumming. Most of the time, I think, where other people would be frustrated, I'm like, this is great. The game can punish me however it wants. I'm just glad to see that side of the game.
Yeah.
Have
you played UFO 50 yet?
Oh, yes. I'm in the process of it. I think I've played about 10 or 12 games.
Yeah.
First, I wanted to start like chronologically. Then I thought maybe that's too restrictive. I'm just, especially after the first one.
Yes.
Everyone who has played the first one, Babuta, they know... Yeah, play some of the other ones next. But they are, I'm constantly amazed by how original those games are. Like all of the game concepts are, I was expecting mostly to have like games that are retro and are just simply good games, but you know the concept of them already. But they are all completely cool concepts. I'm wildly impressed. I think one of my favorites is, conceptually, I haven't played it. I've saw a friend play it. It's Camouflage, where you play like a small gecko.
Yeah.
And you can just take on the color of the ground to hide from predators. And it's a really small puzzle game about movement and planning where to shift colors, because you can only shift your color to sand. If you stand on sand, it's really wild. Yeah, it's great. I'm a big fan.
They do make us all look bad when people make games like that in like small groups, and then they just one day drop 50 games, 50 in one, and each one of them could be, you know, they're not joke games, right? Which I think is the thing. Like when I heard about UFO 50, you know, years ago now, my thinking was, well, they won't all be, you know, they'll be some sort of gag here, right? Like it's Frog Fractions, or it's something like there'll be something behind this which isn't. Like, it's a game, but it's not really a game, or something like that. And then I think increasingly it's just like, no, this is a collection of 50, a lot, you know, there's RPGs in there, multiple ones. There's multiple golf games.
Yeah. Two golf games, yeah, right.
Like, what?
I had a different, I misremembered things about the game in the marketing. I knew, it's 50 full games.
Mm.
And when I told my partner about the game just a few days before launch, I was like, yeah, so they got together like 50 developers and each of them is working on a separate game. And then we started up the game and she's like, but there's only 4 people. And I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. this was just a handful of people instead of, a handful of very talented people.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Yu and Cyril Plummer and the rest of them. But it's still incredibly impressive to have put out so many games.
Yeah.
Even if it's only 8 years of development.
Yeah.
Which you normally wouldn't say only, but if it's for 50 games.
Exactly.
You can get away with saying only 8 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, miracle. I'm looking forward to UFO 100.
Yes, exactly. Because the last one of these that really made me feel like we were doing it wrong somehow was when Tunic came out. And that was, I know there were other people who helped with things like music and testing and all the rest of it. And I think that, I forget the name of the creator of that now. He's very quick to say, well, it was a team effort, but it was largely one person. Or the same with Fez, you know, things like Fez. We're just like, this is just unreasonably creative and clever. Phil Fish, like, what are you doing? You know, making us all look bad.
I think solo developers, I mean, I would like to call myself a solo developer. Like Shutterstroll was mostly me, and I've commissioned like friends for like Steam art or trailer music, but the game itself was a solo effort because it's also, I mean, if you're doing games, it's really fun to do your discipline mostly, but I've been, I think starting in university, I've been very much a person who wants to do every discipline on a game. Not to the full extent necessarily, especially not at work, but if I'm doing my own games, I kind of want to tweak every little thing myself. Yeah. And it's really fun to be able to, I'm really sick of coding right now, I will just do 3D art now and be able to switch. And I think that's such a cool thing to do, even if someone thinks they cannot, I cannot do art or something like that. I think it would still be interesting to just try make a game all by yourself, a small one. Don't let me talk anyone into something reckless. But making like a game with where everything comes from you is so cool, even if you think most of the disciplines are not your strong suit. I'm not an artist either. The 3D art and Shutter Stroll is, it's okay, I would say. I'm making up with it with a few fancy shaders and stuff. But it's so cool to see a person putting everything from them into a game, and you know every part of it that's come from a person. And it especially, I think that comes back to my thinking about photos of, this photo shows where you're standing. I think making a game all by yourself tells people who you are in lots of ways you didn't realize yourself. Because everything you do, everything is a decision you're doing. And even if you think it's not a decision, it's an unconscious decision that just stems from your experiences, who you are. And I think that's super interesting to just see a person put themselves into a game, even if they think they are not. Even if you think you cannot do art, you will obviously take shortcuts that are unique to you, and you will find something that works out for you. And I think that's really cool. I think, yeah, that's one of my, that's why I really like playing games made by single persons instead of teams. I mean, I also loved games teams did, but it's really special for me to play a game someone has made on their own, in regardless of how it looks or if the code's not good, because you wouldn't see the code if there's bugs. I can overlook that, but I just love seeing people's personalities in their game.
Yeah, no, it's a real treat. I think that authorship that comes through so strongly, it's more than, you know, people increasingly these days, I feel like James Barham wrote about this recently, he's a former guest, but he talked about like people follow individuals now, not teams, somehow online, like all of the social platforms and all of that stuff seems geared towards individuals more so than groups of people. And there might be reasons for that, but like, the reality is like we rally around like individuals. So yeah, I love being able to see people's thumbprints in what they make. And I hope that, you know, as I play more of your games, for example, I'll be like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's, you know, see the through lines, even if you can't, maybe.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can definitely see some of them.
Yeah.
But I'm always surprised. I mean, Shutterstroke was my first real confrontation with people not only playing the game, but taking a look at it and talking about it.
Yeah.
Because there were a few press articles. And I remember there was one, but I don't have the name, but there was one Medium article I read where someone basically talked about all of the islands in Shutterstroke feeling like they are unmoored from time. Like there's no real connection. There's no day-night cycle. It's like those islands are in stasis. And I hadn't realized it at the time, but that person obviously made some observations about how Shutterstroke feels like the world post-COVID-19. And as I read that article, I was like, oh, I did not intend that at all, but I very much... Yeah, in retrospect, I could have very much seen where my mindset about the game started to shift and where I was. That person basically looked right through me, just through my game alone. And that was incredible for me. And that's what I'm trying to do, or what I want to do. I want these games to be an invitation for people to talk to me through the game or directly, I don't know. But I think it's really cool to have this dialogue with the player when you're making a game. Most of the time that's not direct. Sometimes it's just feedback on a forum. Most of the time you won't hear it at all, but it's so cool when something comes back and you can really see someone that understood you, even if you didn't know they would.
I love it. Well, thank you for like also like agreeing to talk about your game and your photography and stuff. I really loved it. It brings my worlds together, you know, like it brings my work life together and it also brings my hobby together. So it's really cool. If people listening want to go and find your games and maybe explore something, where can they go and find your stuff?
Sure. I think you will put them in the show notes anyway. Mm. So yeah. I think the best place to find my games is on my itch.io page. Yannick Boysen.itch.io, but that's a weird name to write down for a non-German speaker, so show notes it is. You can find Shutterstroll on Steam if you'd like to. It's also on itch. You can play it on any of those platforms. That's fine. That's where my games are at.
Yeah, cool. Oh, well, thank you so much.
I would love to hear from anyone who plays them. Definitely. I also, yeah. I have to say, Ian, I really enjoyed the photos you sent me.
Oh, cool.
When you asked me to be on your show.
Yeah.
I was, because you tend to get a lot of messages leading up to a Steam release from people who just want to want keys from you or something like that. And just having that email, clicking on it, I'm like, oh, there's someone with a podcast. That's cool. And then I see someone who made the effort to actually, take pictures from the game. It was really nice to see. It made me very happy.
Oh, I hope so. I will.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, good. It's an absolute pleasure. It's a joy. And I think the thing that's, when I do this, I'll let you into a secret and listeners into a secret. When I send the emails, I try and be really emotionally manipulative and talk about Scotland. And if I can include photos that I think the person will find interesting and stuff, because I'm trying to create, like, these conversations are conversations, right? It's the reason I just start and just go straight in, because I think that's more natural and it's more interesting rather than a sort of formal interview setup. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I included photos because I wanted you to know, because I've had messages from people reaching out to propose, like to pitch people being on the podcast. And like, they've clearly not listened. They don't get my name right even. And so I want people to know that I have thought about it before I message them. You know, like, I promise I have played your game and I think it's really lovely. And no. Well, keep an eye on Threads. I'll be posting more photos. But I'm glad you like them. I think they do reflect my real photos. Like, when I've looked at them side by side, I think I am. That is the gift of something like this, that like, I'm
okay. Yeah, I will have to check that out for myself to see, like, yeah, I will compare them. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, have a lovely rest of the day. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
My thanks again to Yannick for taking part in the show. That was a really good one, and it was nice to bring my worlds together, you know, to bring video games and photography all under one roof. This is an episode of the podcast I can share with people at work, people who don't care about cameras at all. I can go, yeah, but there's video game stuff in it, so you might like it. So thanks for that. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget that you can like and subscribe it wherever you get your podcasts. So that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We're now on Amazon Music, on YouTube. You'll find the show everywhere. Share it. Tell a friend. You can back the show on Patreon. That helps pay for websites and emails and stuff. And on the subject of emails, don't forget you can also sign up for the weekly newsletter, where I send out links and stories and review things and play about. I've just done some stuff playing with the Fjorden grip for phones. It's really cool. Tell a friend, like things online, and let me know if you enjoyed the show or if you didn't enjoy the show and what you think I should do. I love to hear from listeners. That is the big thrill and buzz that I get when I'm not talking to guests. So have a lovely week, and let's do this again next week. See you soon. Bye.